handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.
And welcome back to the second hour of the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. Right now we have Art in Georgia on the line. All right, gentlemen, go ahead.
Well, Art, I got a favor to ask you, buddy. Can you hang on for just a second? Because Rick's got to get going, and I want to let him finish out what he has to say, and then we'll jump right back to you. You're not getting put on hold or anything. You're on open line.
Not a problem.
I planted some blue kale about 2 weeks ago. Planted about 50 seeds and only one came up. So I'm going to caution you. I ordered some fresh seed. Be careful how you store your seeds. Keep them in the right place. The one over there is one of the most beautiful plants I've ever seen. It's a foot ball, and it is absolutely delicious and sour. So I'm kind of trying my best not to eat it. You cannot have your... Michael the Archangel. Holy Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And to you, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the divine power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the other evil spirits who wander through the world seeking the ruin of soul.
Well, Rick, very appropriate again.
Yeah.
And thanks for the call.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks, Rick.
In a while. Okay.
I hope things get better for you.
Oh, yeah. I'm building a very unusual dining room.
I lost Rick there somehow.
Me too.
So, all right.
He's going in and out.
All right.
I'm going.
All right. Art.
All right, bye.
All right. We were talking about tomatoes and stuff like that and about how the nights are cooler. And I agree with you. They are back there in Missouri, at least when we left. When we left to come down here that morning, it was 39 degrees. So I know what you're talking about, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, this time we should have been out of these 60-degree nights like 2 months ago.
I agree.
I mean, this
Weather patterns are changing, buddy.
I know they are, and it's screwing everything up, and we're going to have to learn a whole new way now. And we may even, you know, it's going to be several years as we follow the weather patterns and how the weather is changing. And we're going to have to learn new growing seasons, folks. We're just going to have to
accept
that. There's no avoiding that. Our growing seasons are rapidly changing, and it's partly due to government screwing with crap, but it's also due to pollution. We got to blame where blame is due. It's not global warming. We're screwing with everything. But anyway,
well, I agree. This does happen. As you look back through history the past 1,000 years, there have been several microclimate changes around the world. You know,
yeah.
it happens even naturally on and off. You know, I'm
about
not saying it's all natural. I actually agree with you.
About every 250 to 320, I think it's between 250 and 320 years, there are minor climate adjustments.
Right.
It happens like clockwork. This is nature.
Yes,
this is not global warming. This is nature. I mean, so anyway, so other than the screwy temperatures, which are really messing with the tomatoes and bell peppers and stuff like that, which means we're not going to get as much of a crop as we would normally, but thankfully, Mama canned I canned, so I have several years worth of canned goodies tucked away.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
And there's no shortage.
And
the great thing about the canned goods, when you can them up in quart jars, it's real easy to know if it's good or not. Is the lid rusty, and is it still caved in? If it's rusty or popped up, it's no good. Simple.
Right.
I got stuff in there, clean the jars, and use them next year. I got stuff in there that was canned back in the mid-90s before Grandma died. This stuff keeps that long. And that was 1996 when Grandma died.
Well, okay. I know for a fact, when I was in the Navy, I ate bacon that was canned in 1942. And bacon I ate in 1982, and it was crisp and delicious, just like the day it was fried.
Well, I was in the military back in there. I joined the military in February 1980, so I know what you're talking about. I mean, but there was nothing wrong with it. But, you know, beyond the cooler temperatures, which are drunk, I mean, hey, my kale and my bok choy and my winter squash and my squash and my zucchinis and my broccoli, they're doing great. They're loving this. They're going like gangbusters. So I'm kind of happy about that. But beyond the cooler nights, which are kind of screwing the tomatoes and bell peppers and stuff, there's all this rain. Now, with excessive rain comes the risk, well, first of all, it's going to rot your seed. So anything you throw out, unless you let it drain off for about a week, which is what you have to do around here after a hard rain, let it go for a week, then you can cast your seed. And I dealt with that in Missouri, and this was in 2008, the early part of 2016. Early part of 2017 when they had the 100-year flood.
I remember.
I was there.
In the 1990s, there in Missouri, they had what they called thousand-year flood. And that year, we just simply did not have a garden. And it wasn't, much rain. No.
You can't. It's impossible. So here, we've had excessive rain here this year, which means our crops are, because we had I was able to get my crops in dancing around the weather the best I could. I've got almost everything in now. I don't have much of anything that's got to be put out now, fortunately. So anyway, all this rain, you got the issue of root rot, which is something I'd like for you to address if possible, is this issue of
root rot a little bit.
But before that, I want to invite people, if I can, there's a group on Facebook. It's called Free Heirloom Seeds.
Okay.
What we do there is we trade. We do not sell our seeds. We do not buy our seeds. We trade our seeds. And the only thing basically we ask, I don't ask, but a lot of people will ask that you send them a self-addressed stamped envelope to cover the cost of shipping.
Right.
That's it.
Well, I can understand that if they're sending out a bunch.
Yep, and I'm telling you, it's just amazing the seeds that I've managed to get. And I share seeds as well. I have seeds that I share from what I harvest at the end of the season. So, if you join the group, anybody interested, this is a great way to get free seeds at the cost of shipping. How great is that? And you ain't got to go nowhere.
Well,
you just follow the group, and people will post what they got or what they're looking for, and it's a wonderful way to get seeds on the cheap that are truly heirloom, and they are wonderful. I've got these Dancing with Smurfs, which are just these wonderful little deep, rich purple cherry tomatoes. They are absolutely amazing.
I've never heard of them.
Oh, they're awesome. Huh? If I get some seeds, I should get some seeds out of this year, so I'll send them to you. I'll send you some if you want. Free Heirloom Seeds is the name of the group, and you can find me Art, A-R-T, space, LeForest, L-E-F-O-R-E-S-T, and in parentheses, the name Stout. And you'll see, it'll be like a...
All right, hang on just a second. Art, hang on just a second. Lori, mute your phone, please. You're getting some kind of bleed over or something. There we go.
My phone was muted.
Oh, well, we're getting bleed over from somewhere. Might be at the cell tower.
That's possible. But you can find me, Art, space, LeForest, A-R-T, space, L-E-F-O-R-E-S-T, in parentheses, Scout. And we can hook up a great way that way. You know, if you're looking for, you know, what, just post what you're looking for. See who responds. See what people are posting, what they've got, what they're looking for. If you've got what they're looking for and they got what you want, work out a trade. I mean, it's a wonderful group. It's absolutely fantastic. Right. I have a really good time. But anyway, I'd like to address that issue of root rot, because I think this year a lot of people are going to experience it if this rain keeps on.
Right. Well, as far as gardens art itself, I haven't really experimented too much. But with certain types of trees, like cherry trees, and particularly cherry trees, what I have done to, you know, keep from buying a nice cherry tree and planting it, and 2 years later it's dead, I dig down as far as I can dig. And you know how dirt in Missouri is. You get down to that hard pan after however far. And then what I've been doing is filling the hole with sand, and I'm talking about a 4 or 5 foot across hole all the way down to hard pan, and then filling it with sand. You know, I'd say probably a 20% potting soil and 80% sand. And that has prevented me from losing cherry trees. So I don't see why you can't dig a foot down and mix potting soil and sand, you know, on top of that, and then planting your seeds. And it should, in my opinion, now I'm not guaranteeing nothing, folks, but in my opinion, this should relieve some of the root rot and seed rot. You know, that's my two cents.
See, that's interesting because I know, it's interesting because I know I have some pear, some peach trees which are out in the field where the chickens are, because I free-range chickens, but of course the field is fenced off. It's to keep the chickens in and keep predators
right
out. But they still free range. They still free range. It's a big field. They have like a half an acre field. There's only like 11 chickens.
You know? Oh, yeah.
It's
okay.
It's not like there's a whole lot. It's a very small flock. But I'm one guy. How many eggs do I need, right? And I got rabbits.
Right,
for
right.
But I noticed the peach trees out in that field, just simply they get about, you know, the size of a golf ball, and then they just kind of fall off and rot. And it turns out, what I found out, was because that field stays soaking wet year round.
Right.
All we got to do is get a halfway decent rain, and half that pond is, or half that field is like a pond. Or actually,
right,
about one.
Oh yeah, that would do it.
A pond, and it's right where that peach tree is. So I wonder if that technique would work there. But then again, because it's like the water just stands right there when it rains, I don't even know if that
right
would help. But that's the thought.
I don't either.
I hadn't thought about digging out and doing that.
Well, that's what I do for our cherry trees, and it does work. Mm-hmm. And, of course, then, you know, we'll have a winter like last winter where we have, you know, 25-degree below night or two, and then they're dead anyway, so you got to start over.
Yeah, that sucks. Wonder if you could put a blanket around the base of them, if that might help. Anyway, you were also talking about like plants in like raised beds versus plants in the ground. And I've been experimenting with several different ways of gardening, because in all the years of my traveling around, I got to spend time at various different hippie communities and prepper communities, and I learned different farming techniques and gardening techniques. And so I'm trying different things. I'm trying straw bale gardening. I'm trying raised bed gardening. I'm trying hugel culture, which is really unique. And, you know, I've got different things in different conditions. Like, I've got, you know, raised beds, straw bales, and hugel culture in about 50% shade. then I've got them in full sun. Then I've got them in, like, 60% shade or 70% shade. Trying different things in each one to see what grows. And I've noticed that certain things do really well in straw bales that tend to struggle when they're in regular soil.
Right.
I also noticed that certain crops just do not do well in raised beds. Don't know why, but I put them in the ground and they go gangbusters.
Right.
Like squash does not work very well. Squash doesn't do very well in straw bale garden. But it does great in raised bed and
beautiful.
So you got, and I found potatoes do, like I checked my potatoes this morning just out of curiosity. I hadn't checked them yet. I just went and pulled them back. I'm doing that straw method, the straw bed. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. Yes, I do. Yes.
I forget what they call it.
Ruth, what was her name?
Yeah, it was named after some woman.
Yeah.
But just yesterday, I decided, yeah, I just wonder how they're doing, because they've been out there since, like, March. So I went out, and I pulled some of that straw back, and oh, my goodness, I got some beautiful golden russets. They're absolutely gorgeous.
Good.
So, you know, I'm trying different techniques to find out what works really well. The kale didn't do so well in the raised beds, but I put it in this red clay, put some straw around the base of it, and threw a little bit of compost humus in there with it, manure. Holy mackerel, the kale went absolutely nuts. I mean, so try, you got to really try different things and find out what works best where.
Well, I agree with
because
you there, absolutely.
So you know, many
we
different
got one
ways
place,
of gardening.
I was just going to say, we got one place by our house that you cannot raise corn for nothing. It gets a foot tall and that's it. But you go literally 700 feet down the hill, and you got corn stalks taller than your head. You know, so it makes a difference.
Yeah, I noticed, like in I noticed I've got one area that you know, my collards just didn't seem to want to do too well, and they don't seem to really want to get much more than maybe, you know, a foot or so tall, and that's about all I get every year when I do collards. But I managed to get some collards to go wild one year. One year I walked out and I'm like, I didn't plant no collards here, but they're growing. Well, it turned out I had missed a couple plants and they went full seed and they dropped their seed. And so I just thought, you know what? Let's just see what happens. Now I have seven generations. They've been here 7 years.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, I'm not kidding you. When I stand next to them, I'm 5'8", and they are a few inches taller than I am.
Wow.
At full maturity.
That is, I have never seen collards that big.
When they have gone full seed. And I mean, they have seeded out, and the big seed pods are formed. I've got them out there in the field. They are, I'm 5'8", and they are a few inches taller than I am. Folks, I'm not kidding you. These things went nuts. But there's that one area in my yard where they just will not grow.
Well,
you know,
I've seen it on our place,
there?
Too.
The difference there is it's very sandy because that's where my grandmother used to have the driveway.
Yeah.
So they grow everywhere else except where the driveway was.
Right. Well, that makes sense in
so
a way.
So you really got to learn your plants. That's the trick here. Learn your plants. Try different ways of gardening. Try straw bed. Try raised bed. Try Hugel culture, you know, try container, whatever it is. It does, you know, try different things, try different plants in different conditions and find out what works best where and create a little food for us. I'm telling you, I've been working at mine for 3 years, and guys, it is amazing.
Well,
it's
amazing.
It's not producing as much per year as I like, but I'm only 3 years into this.
Right.
It takes a while.
Oh, it does. Oh, yeah. I laugh at these people that occasionally I'll have somebody contact me, and that's fine. I don't mind. But they think they can just buy a patch of woods, you know, for $1,500 an acre, come in, clear, maybe bulldoze the stumps out, plant a garden that summer, and the next summer they're going to have something to eat. And I try to tell them, 3 years minimum.
Yep. And
okay, guys, we have a break.
I'm at the 3-year mark right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Please hold on.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Welcome back to the Real Survival Show here on RBN. Okay, Art, I can give you a few more minutes, and then we have another caller.
Alrighty. So but you're right. It takes 3 years minimum before you really start to see the results. And
right.
Just for example, 3 years ago, when I began 3 years ago, I planted 1, 2, 3. There was already one apple tree been out here for probably about 10 years, but 3 years ago I planted 3 2-year-old trees. This year I get my first fruit, and they're 5-year-old trees, and they're just covered in apples. It's amazing. So it takes years.
Yeah.
It takes at least 3 years before you see any real substantial difference, and your plants coming back every year on their own without any help. And that's the whole idea behind a food forest. But the best food forests I've ever seen were those that were a combination of many types of gardening techniques.
Yes.
Those are the most successful ones I've seen. So, folks, don't be afraid to experiment. You'll be amazed at what you can find and what you can learn. And there's some really great groups on Facebook that come, you know, that will be more than happy to answer your questions. Just look up homesteaders. Really great groups on Facebook for homesteaders and such as that. Anyway, thanks, guys. And as always, it's always enjoying listening to you. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you, Art. We really appreciate your input, buddy. It helps a lot of people.
Thanks, Art. You have a great weekend, hon. Okay. Give me a second, please. We do have another caller on the line. We have Jean in Kentucky. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning. My best garden was back in Louisville. I covered my whole front yard, because I didn't have a big backyard, with either landscape fabric or cardboard. I did no-till. I had the best garden I ever had. All I did was make a hole and put the plant in, and I had the most gorgeous garden. And my neighbors didn't like it, but it was beautiful because I put a little fence around it, fancy little fence and all that. But I had 7-foot okra, and I had beans, I had bush beans, I had broccoli. Oh, my goodness, it was gorgeous. But anyway, when we moved here, that mat that y'all were talking about is called the Ruth Stout. And I noticed that the couple that did it, they said they did the best. I haven't tried it. But anyway, they said the best return, they had was not just to put the straw down, but to break up the ground under it. That was the suggestion that they concluded.
Right, right.
Okay, so anyway, the first year we came here, I did the straw bale. But I didn't grow in the straw bed. I mean, I used the straw as a bed. You know what I'm saying? I surrounded my...
Right.
I had a guy bring me a bunch of straw, and then I had another idiot bring me a bunch of topsoil. It's a big pile. It took me forever to move it. And I had gorgeous plants in, but it wasn't that big. And then another year, he went down to the real garden that people used years ago, and he tilled it. It was beautiful then. It did pretty good. And then I decided I was going to go back to no-till. And so we fenced in the hole about 40 by 40 with kettle panels and poultry wire and all that. And yep. I had a gorgeous garden. I did the same thing again, no-till. I put down either landscape fabric or a bunch of cardboard. I'd go to the recycle center, you know, and get cardboard by the wazoo and bring it home. And I'd put a hole in and put the plant in there. That did gorgeous, too. Well, I decided I didn't want to bend over, so I did my garden in a trailer, a utility trailer in buckets.
Yeah.
That did pretty good. And then I decided to bring it when we went to the lake. I did it there, too. But I did it in those raised beds I mentioned before. But a mistake I made was going, 3 foot tall, 2 foot tall. I had to do over again after I moved it again so many times. I was stuck with a foot tall because I didn't have all the mulch I should have got ahead of time and lined all the beds so they don't just drain so fast. It's just hardware cloth. See, it's woven wire or whatever it is, you know, a fencing, field fencing.
Right, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and I did the hardware cloth and then I did the landscape fabric. Well, it just drains through so fast. So if I would have had time when I moved it back down the hill again, after I come back to this house, I would have made everything shorter. Then I wouldn't use so much water because I've already used one of my tanks that held 300 gallons, just to water twice. And so anyway, what I'm doing, and I know I've spent a bit of money, but what I've got everything in hoop houses. I've got 3 rows of hoop houses. I had somebody help me make them, and my husband helped me with, you know, cattle panels. I've got 12 of those, and I bought 3 Shelter Logics, you know, those tool shed types. And
Hey, Jean, I don't know if you can hear the music, but hold on through the break, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it.
Right after the break's over, we'll talk more.
Okay, I appreciate it.
The truth! You can't handle the truth! You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the Real Survival Show here on RBN. Okay, Jim, you guys go ahead.
Okay, Jane, you still there?
Oh. Okay, yeah, Jim's still here. Okay, back to the thing again. So, actually, I put all that together. I don't have the covers on the Shelter Logic, so I've got all that. And then I invested. It's a big investment, but I've had it for several years now. I invested in first I got one big, large piece of that hell netting from Greenhouse Megastore. It was a bit expensive, and we cut it in half, and I used it two different places here. And then I bought another two pieces, so I've got my whole garden covered in hail netting. And
right.
But I haven't had any hail, thank goodness. But it does keep out some of the critters, but it doesn't keep out raccoons. I was down out there at 3 o'clock in the morning of the night, and because I'm a night owl. And I was messing with my green beans, and they're not in the shelter stuff, but I'm covering them with shears on both sides. Well, anyway, along the kettle panel, and then I've got rebar, and then I've got the netting trellis up. Well, anyway, I kept hearing noises in there, and I thought, oh, my gosh, it's probably a darn skunk. I had heard some of the cardboard being messed around with that I had down, and I looked in, and it was a stupid raccoon. And I kept screaming at him to get out of here and cussing him out. He didn't care. He just kept messing with my stuff, and I'd bang on things. So I told my husband we're going to get a trap and set it, but I haven't yet. But that was my bad experience. But it doesn't keep out my raccoons, and it doesn't keep out bugs very well because I've got the cabbage moths everywhere. You know, have to constantly pick off, you know, worms and stuff. They managed to find a hole in there because I joined two pieces together and I didn't line up my grommets, so I had to pin the whole 50 feet or whatever it is width together. I pinned it with those big safety pins, you know, on both sides. And but anyway, I wouldn't trade it. You just got to watch when I go in there that part that's not up real high. It'll catch my hair clips and it'll about pull my hair out. But then I'd use those big aluminum clamps to keep it on the on my frames. And other than the bugs, it's working beautiful. And that was a bit of investment, but it's really paid off, and I'm really far behind this year because of all this COVID nonsense that's driving me crazy, and I can't sleep and stuff. And plus, I'm so far behind. This time last year, I had everything in. But now I'm working on getting my sweet potatoes I've got everything in pots other than my bins. And I did put a few tomatoes in the ground in front of my garden. And I'll see how that works out. And then I've got some of them big, what's it called, watering troughs that I made a mistake of buying because I don't want to put any holes in them. So I'll just use those for a few things. And I got some old boxes that we made years ago that I grew kales and sweet potatoes and stuff in. But, like I said, if I had to do over, I would have made my raised beds a lot shorter because I was worried about getting a lot of rain because we're on bottom land. And I don't have that problem, you know, that other people will have because we had a lot of rain last Monday. But my goodness, now it's already dried up because we've had so much breeze and wind. I mean, every day I have to keep the stuff I got on the front porch. I've got still in little pots I haven't planted yet. I have to go out and water like twice a day to keep them alive. A lot of them I've already lost, you know. But anyway, that's just my experiences. And if a person, you know, I know it's a bit expensive, but I've already used that hell netting. This is like my third or fourth year for that. We just take it down every year, make sure it's dry, and put it in big totes or something to keep. One year I didn't pack it good. I just put it back in the box. Well, tried to anyway. It wouldn't go back in the original box because they must really compress it. And a mouse kind of chewed a hole in it, a big hole about, you know, a foot wide and all that. And you just got to watch you don't get caught on the bolts and nuts of the sharp edges of the cattle panel. They leave a lot of, they got a lot of those sharp edges where they're, you know, where they're soldered together, welded together.
Right.
You got to watch that. But that's my big investment, but it's already paid off. I mean, because I've got stuff out of the wild.
That is fantastic that it's already paid off for you.
Yeah, because I had a... I had butternut squash. I think I got one left, you know, from, I think I got one from 2 years ago. But last year I didn't water like I should because I didn't get it was such a pain hooking up all these hoses because I gravity feed all my tanks. And so this
I'll
year I'm going to
get
a little
get up there,
smarter. I'm going to put more hoses
down,
you know.
What I found is the older I get, the harder that simple stuff is.
Oh, my goodness. I know, but I keep making mistakes. I mean, I get tired, you know, and I don't
work
as well as I should. And, like, right now, I've been awake since 1 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday. So I need to, after this program goes off, I'm going to turn off the phone, and I'm going to try to get some sleep.
There you go. I will.
Okay, I really enjoy listening to y'all, and y'all take care of yourselves, okay? And good luck,
everybody. You and your husband, you take good care of yourselves, ma'am.
Okay, then.
And
take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Gene. Bye-bye, Gene. Okay.
All right, Lori, do we have anybody else waiting?
No, we don't. But if we do have time for maybe one or two more callers, so the number is 512-248-8252. Again, 512-248-8252. 248-8252. Just give us a call. Okay.
Yeah, folks, and, you know, we'll talk about pretty much anything you want to. It doesn't have to be gardening, you know. But give us a call. We'll talk. But you don't got much time left. You know, Lori, I was talking at the beginning of the, or I don't know if it was at the beginning of the show or when I talked to Rick today, but I was just telling him how much different the culture is down here in Florida. And I guess where we're at, it would be considered suburbs, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, how much different everything is. You know, there's not a Walmart, Lowe's, and or Home Depot at every stoplight, but it sure seems like there is at every other stoplight, doesn't there?
Right.
You know, and at home, we got to drive 35 miles, you know, to go to, you know, one way to go to Lowe's or, yeah, that's Lowe's. We don't even have a Home Depot up there in Rolla. But,
no.
You know, but it was, there is a Menards up there. I ain't been in it yet.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, it's just everything is so much different here. You know, 10 miles here is a long ways to drive. And at home, you know, we want to go to an Aldi's or something like that. It's 70 miles round trip. And to me, it even though I know what it is, it's still a little bit of a culture shock. You get in a car and you're there. And it's just weird, you know, just one of those things. But, you know, I couldn't handle living around all these people. Could you, Lori?
No, I like my countryside. I like my 50 acres. I like the peace and quiet. And, oh, wait, best of all, I like not having all this traffic. So,
and not to mention, where we live, you don't need a building permit to build a house or do anything. Here, you know, we found out you got to have a building permit to put in an air conditioner.
Yeah, you do.
You know, the freedom here is so wacky.
Right. Well, you might want to hold that thought because our friend Tom in Utah is on the line. Good morning.
Oh, good. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, Lori and Tim.
How are you doing, Tom?
I didn't hear anybody talk about the utilization of water jugs painted black and just laid out throughout the garden to keep the night cold from being as cold, using the water as a heat reservoir.
Nobody's talked about that. Right. You're right.
Yeah, I was able to pull tomatoes off actually in February, believe it or not, because I did two things. I cold frame and I painted a whole bunch of old empty water or milk jugs or water jugs black and then set them out throughout the garden to absorb heat in the day, sunlight, and convert it to heat, and then, you know, release it in the night.
Right, and it will do that. You know, down here in Florida where we're at now, Tom, when I was little, I assume they still have them, but I haven't been around any orange groves like where I grew up. And they used to have what they call grove heaters. They were kerosene or diesel fired.
Smudge pots, yeah.
Yeah, well, they were about 5 feet tall, though. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sneeze in everybody's ear. But anyway, they were about 5 feet tall. And you put 5 gallons of diesel or kerosene in the bottom when you knew it was going to freeze. And put one between every four trees, you know, like there'd be four in a checker pattern, and you put one in between it, and that would keep those four trees from freezing. And that's how they used to do it here, just an oh, by the way thing. And they also had big fans up on poles that would blow the air to keep the frost from settling on the leaves and fruit. So just a couple of things. But this is a much milder climate where we're at here in Florida right now. So it doesn't apply to what you're talking about. It's just an oh, by the way thing. You still there, Tom? Lori, are you still
on? You might have lost him.
Yeah, we might have lost Tom. Tom, if you're listening, give us a call back real quick.
Oh, I'm back,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, Tom.
My $4 phone and $14 service is always good.
Good for frustration, at least, right?
Oh, yeah. My friends and neighbors were shocked when I was pulling tomatoes in February.
I bet they were.
What I also did is I took all the old Christmas lights and strung them out in the rows of tomatoes. So I had the prettiest garden at night.
Well, that's neat. I mean, that's a good idea for those old incandescent bulbs that put off heat. You know, the LED ones wouldn't work.
Yeah, they're useless.
Yeah, they're useless for that. But I could absolutely see how that would work. You know, down here in Florida, a trick we used to use, if we thought there was going to be a frost, very seldom a freeze, but a frost, we would actually put up blankets or sheets or, you know, old yard sale bedspreads or something like that on a frame over the plants in the garden. And that would save them sometimes.
Oh, yes, I did that. Well, I was building cold frames, but even just a frame where I could stretch blanket.
Right, right. And, of course, it never really cost us anything, you know, because this was all, you know, 5 and 10 cent yard sale items. So, you know, it was an economical way to do it. And I got to admit, Tom, when I was little, we didn't have two pennies to rub together, almost literally. And
nothing has changed, right?
Yeah, not much. $2 bills rubbing together is about the same thing as two pennies 50 years ago. So, no, nothing's changed. But, that, you know, we would do everything the most economical way. You know, I ate many, many suppers that were grits, tomatoes, and a type of fish called a mullet. They're a saltwater carp type thing, and good eating. They're looked at as trash fish and bait now, but they are good eating. And I about grew up on that till I was about 9 years old, 8-9 years old. So, you know, where there's a will, there's a way to get it. So yeah, your idea, Tom. I'm going to actually try that. Now I got a question for you. Will your milk jugs or plastic jugs that you paint black last a season or two seasons, or do you got to keep redoing them? Because I know if you put a regular milk jug out in the sun, it just falls apart to nothing.
Yeah, it has an extended, how to say, a limited life.
Limited lifeline.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was just curious if the black paint made it preserve longer or something.
Well, you know, you have to wash the jug really thoroughly so there's no oil on it and no film, you know.
Right.
No milk fat and spray paint it black. But, you know, it's like anything else plastic, it's not going to live forever.
Right, right. That's what I thought, but I was just checking with you. Now, what temperature is this method good down to?
Well, you know, we get pretty severe cold in Utah. We're at 4,000, 5,000 feet.
I bet it does.
I don't know. I just did it.
Well, you know, if you wake up in the morning and your milk jug is frozen solid and split, then it got too cold.
Then it got too cold, yeah.
Yeah.
But see, if you put the milk jugs in, then you cover them with blankets, too.
Oh, I could see how that would work really well.
You know, like a cold frame.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see how would work really well.
Right, then the cold air doesn't pull the heat away from your jug. It just kind of radiates into the space around the plants.
Right. And if you had like a raised bed or something, I could think where even some of those insulated sleeping bags that you can buy either surplus or yard sales or something like that would work great too.
Yeah, and I didn't hear too much about the greenhouse.
Well, the one lady, Jean, that called before you was talking about putting up a hoop house.
Okay.
You know, similar.
Right. Yeah, and, I didn't realize she said a hoop house. That's a greenhouse, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I was starting to build a greenhouse, and I broke my leg, and then I lost my leg. And I've got the footers done for a greenhouse, and eventually I'll get somebody to help me. I've already had one guy volunteer, just our schedules haven't worked out. And I'm going to build about a 10-foot by, I think it came out 10-foot by 14, and it won't be big. It'll be big enough for Lori and I.
That'll produce a lot of food, though.
Yeah, it will. We got a break, buddy. So go ahead and hang on for a minute through the break, and we'll get back to you. Then I think we got to close out the show.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show. We have Tom in Utah on the line with us. We don't have time for any more callers today. All right, gentlemen.
Okay. All right. Where were we at, Tom? We were talking about the milk jugs. I know that. I got sidetracked during the break is what happened. And I apologize, my friend.
Yeah, just that I got good results when I built cold frames and used blankets and used Christmas lights and used black painted milk jugs.
Well, that is fantastic. You know, Rick has cold frames too. I've seen his, but they weren't as big as I thought they would be. They're only like 2 feet by 3 feet, and I figured it'd be something, you know, larger than that until I saw them. Unless I'm confusing his house with somebody else's, which I might be. But anyway, I've been looking at something called, it's either Wallapini or Wallapini, a greenhouse. It's an in-ground thing where the south side faces the sun. And I've seen some built with rock that were really impressive, like probably 10 feet deep and 40 feet long. And they were impressive. And I'm thinking, I've got a friend that's willing to do the backhoe work for free, other than fuel. And I'm thinking about doing something like that on a south side facing slope, you know, so there wouldn't be as much digging.
Right.
And, you know, if I'm able to do that this year, which I don't know if I'll be able to, but if I am able to, I'll give everybody a report on how that works next year. But the concept seemed extremely interesting to me.
Well, that's the way a lot of the Native Americans did. They would plant their crops on the south-facing slope. Mm-hmm. So they'd have production through the winter. The only other thing I wanted to recommend, make sure you're aware of the edible weeds in your area, because that's another food source.
Oh, yeah.
And
I absolutely agree with you.
Dry everything you can. Dry everything you can.
Yep. And we can a lot, too.
Well, canning is nice, but you can't pack it very easily if you need to get...
That's true.
Whereas dried food is light, and all you need is the water.
That's true. You're very
okay,
true.
Okay, both of you kids behave.
All right, thank you, Tom. Yeah, please call
back
again next week, buddy.
Oh, by the way, everybody check gassingamerica.com. Make sure you don't have family or friends living in a mobile and unaware of the problem.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, definitely, folks. Tom is 1,000% right on this. This has killed many hundreds of people because of the way that mobile homes and these camping trailers are set up. If you happen to live in one or have family that does, go to gassingamerica.com. There's very, very valuable information there.
And don't worry, call me if you want to. I'm
All
happy
right.
to take it. Any of
All
you,
right, thank
I can
you.
Receive.
All right, folks. That's it for
Thanks,
today.
Tom.
We hope everybody has a safe week, work week ahead, and a safe rest of the weekend. Please keep your heads on a swivel. Please pay attention to what's going on around you in your community, in your state, country, world. Just be aware. And we'll be back same time, same channel next week. And may God bless you and may God bless America. Bye-bye, folks.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the CoSertified app can make a huge difference for your future.